This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 3, Episode 10, I sit down to chat with Ella McCartney. Ella is a mother to two young children who is based on the Sunshine Coast. In 2024, this year, she won the Noosa Half Marathon in 1:16:40 and the Ballarat Marathon in 2:40. However, she boasts a PB in this event of 2:38 at the Gold Coast Marathon in 2023. Times aside, the thing I really enjoyed about this conversation was that Ella simply loves to run, and it comes at no surprise that she loves to talk about it. So, if you're going for a run, commuting to work, or doing things around the house, I hope you enjoy Ella's words as she discusses, of course, her own running, but the women's marathon in this country right now, running with kids as a mother, and running around the Sunshine Coast. Okay, well, welcome Ella McCartney to the Local Legends in Running podcast.
Oh, thanks.
Excellent. Have you done a podcast before? Is this your first time?
No, I've done a few. I think it's maybe like number 3.
Oh, a bit of experience?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm good at rambling.
Hey, let's just talk about where we are, what time it is. So 15th of June, Saturday night, 7:55 p.m. now. We aim for 7 o'clock, but we both got children. I've got two. Yeah. You've got one or two?
Two.
You've got an 8-year-old who's busy on an iPad, and I've got a 3-year-old who I think is asleep now. So hopefully we've got a window here to chat all things running.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Now, you've had a massive year this year. I was just sort of going through Instagram, your Instagram there today, and, you know, some highlights, the Noosa Half. I was there with you, behind you. This time I might have been close if I was in a bit better shape that day, but well and truly ahead of me. You won that for the females, the Ballarat Marathon as well, I've seen. And if I hope this pronunciation is correct, is it Motutapu Trail Marathon in New Zealand?
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. I'm not super sure, but that's how I go with it.
Which is something unique to, I think I saw a photo of you like half your legs, half immersed in water as well. So that's a different event, very different to obviously the Noosa Half. That's about a month ago, I think, three weeks or a month ago. And then this Race the Sun 24-hour run too, which was more about a relay, just absolutely nuts. I don't know, where do we start here? The Race the Sun's the most recent. Can you talk to us about your experience there? Who founded that or started that, and who'd you run with?
So that's a Courtney Atkinson Red Bull event. I think it started last year and they trialed it. And then a few teams actually reached out to Beth and they wanted both of us, because I think you need to have two girls. And it would have been super cool if we were in it together. anyway, she's away. So then a few other teams wrote to her, and then I thought about it and I tossed it up between that and Mackay. And I've done Mackay before, and Race the Sun seemed kind of cool. But it was brutal. I'm still recovering. It really took it out of me. Like, I did 81 Ks in total.
Wow.
And it's like nearly, I think there's a 20 K trail section. And then besides that, it's pretty much 60 Ks of interval training.
Jeez. Yeah. So just talk to us about, this is around the Gold Coast areas. How many in a team? How big are those intervals? I've seen Ryan Fisher. He's a contact of mine back in school, ex-triathlete, Olympic triathlete. He ran 350 pace for 80 K, I think. So how did you bode with that sort of pace? And yeah, how long were the intervals in the team?
Oh, we had a plan, and it was 5K intervals roughly until about midnight, and then just wing it. And that plan didn't work at all. It went out the window pretty quickly into the race, and it was just like, I think we started off like 5K, 3K, 2K, all that. And then it went to like, I think my first stint was 4.7, and then the next one was 700 meters up a climb. And then it was a 20K trail section. And then from there, it was just, we had a little bit of like organization. I think I did like me and one other guy in our team. So there was five in a team. I can't even remember because I'm still probably tired from it. Then we had kind of a plan, and it was like, we broke up in two teams. That somehow it was me and one guy in the team. And then, yeah, four in the other team. And we were like, trying to like rotate. So we did 1.5K on, 1.5K off. And then, so that was like pretty much a session. I think we did five of those each. And then we tapped out with the other part of our team. And then they did their stint and we got a bit of a break. Then we went to 1K intervals. And then I think we did maybe six 1K intervals, 1K on, 1K off. I'd just get like chucked up the road every K. And then from there, I think it was just random. It was like 400 meters, 500 meters, 1.5K all through the night. It was wild. You'd be like, I think I slept for 5 minutes during it. I got out of, I think my 1 5-minute sleep, I woke up and they're like, yep, time to go. You jump out of the car and you've got like a 1K sprint in like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, wow. So how on earth did you hydrate and use nutrition through that time?
Wasn't great. I had some 2-minute noodles. We had like, food was terrible. We ended up having like pancakes with jam. Like we had a van as well, like a camper van. And by the end, people like laying on the bed and it was disgusting. Everything stunk. Like it wasn't pretty. I drank so much caffeine. I actually had a really upset stomach and I was like, I'll just keep drinking caffeine. That will help. And that didn't help. And in the end, I was just wired. And then I was like, I'll just have a Red Bull. That might make me feel better. And in the end, I was like, my head is spinning. Like, it was good. I think it helped the team because I was just on fire. I was so awake and, like, jumping around. And, yeah, like, the great. It's on the trail, in the trail section. That was really cool. It was super muddy. But, yeah, it wasn't, like, proper sports nutrition at all. Like, Coke, lollies. We went through so many lollies. I think we brought like 6 loaves of bread and I didn't even touch 1 bit of bread. So, yeah, it was literally whatever you could stomach.
Wow. It just looked like such an amazing event, a physical feat. Obviously, the time of day, like through the night, over hills, trail, yeah. Like you said, trying to get that nutrition and that stuff right. I know you've run marathons, but that must have been a different event for you.
Yeah, it doesn't. The recovery is worse. I don't think it compares to a marathon. I think I did my first speed run on Wednesday and I'm still really tired. So yeah, it was brutal and I had a really sore knee during it and it didn't get worse, but I was worried. But since then my other knee's played up. But it's not yet. It's just, although I did have to walk the other day, but yeah, like you could do a lot of injuries because it's really taxing on your body. Like you don't normally what a track session's like 5Ks main set. And all my runs, I counted them and yeah, there was 71 runs. Was it 71? Yeah, 71 runs and I did 81K, but I don't know what I averaged because I was doing like resetting my watch after every interval. So I don't know what my like overall pace was, but for some of the intervals, it was like around, I think my quickest K was 3:17 down a hill at like 3 in the morning. And then it went to about 3:45. Some of the uphills are like 4:15, but everything was pretty quick.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, at least you know, genuinely each effort was firm.
Yeah, it was
Wow.
quick.
Wow. Before we continue, there's so much I want to talk to you about. And before I forget to even introduce you to the listeners, I think we touch on that first, Ella. I'm just talking about things a bit around where you live, up the coast, I think, work. We alluded to family just earlier, and any hobbies. I've got a unit. My dad actually bought a unit up at Twin Waters last year.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I'm a bit of a temporary local in the areas, I think, just south of you. So yeah, where are you living and how's work going for you at the moment, if you are working?
It's an interesting one. I live on the sunny coast. I live in Coolum. It's beautiful here. We're very lucky where we live. The kids love it. It's a great lifestyle. I'm currently not working, but I am in the process of starting to work due to a lifestyle change. So yeah, I will be working, but yeah, not really at the moment.
Yeah, well, let's not
I'm
discredit
quite lucky.
the two kids. So, yeah, how old are the kids? I think you mentioned 8 earlier, and obviously you've been a mother for that time. He or she's your oldest at 8.
Yeah, him. I've got a little boy, Finn. He's 8, and then I've got a wild little one who's 6, and his name's Kai, and he's full of energy. He's really good value, but yeah, he's full on. He's funny.
Yeah, and that's time being a mother too and trying to run and run at a competitive level is something we'll definitely talk about, because you surely that's been a journey. I've been amongst that as a male for 3.5 years. I can't imagine what you've gone through to get to where you are now. Anything else that bides time away from the, when people ask of mothers and dads about hobbies when they've got kids at this age, often there's not much because you want to spend time with your children. But anything else that bides time for you, Ella, in the week?
Not really. Like, it's really running. Running is like my hobby. I don't do it because like any other reason besides I love it. It's the only thing really I make time to do, and that, and I go to like a recovery center with my friends as my social life. But I don't probably have that many hobbies, I don't think. I'm trying to think now. I'm like, oh, it sounds a bit sad.
Yeah, well, I think that question's often asked about guests on running podcasts or exercise podcasts. And I think, especially if you're a parent, you can't discredit what you're doing in itself. And I'm sure you're someone who reads about it, listens to podcasts yourself, and watches the sport too. It can take up time, can't it?
Yeah, it is time consuming, but yeah, I don't know. I love it. I just don't think I do much else besides running. It's like it does take up a lot of time, and I like exploring and not just running around where I live. So that takes up a lot more time. If you go do trails, it's like a 4 or 5 hour morning out.
Oh, I
So I
love
feel
it.
like
Yeah,
that,
love it. I want to
yeah,
hear
that's
about
where
it
I put a
soon.
lot of my time.
Awesome. Before we get to any of your training and training weeks, let's talk about the Noosa. It's pretty fresh in our minds. I was there, again, as I mentioned before, behind you, I think by about 3 minutes. I think you ran a high 1:16 and were the winner, was the winner there for the women. So how was your experience there, Alex? I believe that's a PB, your World Athletics profile. No, it's not a PB. She's shaking her head. There's 118, high 1:16 there. Where's the PB and how's your experience at Noosa Half?
So the PB is at Brisbane Half, maybe like
Wow.
2 years ago. I know, and it's hilly. It's really weird. And I didn't feel great, but I did 16:08 or 16:10 there. And then I've done like Brisbane Great South years ago, and that was like 16:34. I really like 1:16. I don't. I hate it. I want to get out of it. I'm always 1:16. I'm like, even for Noosa, I was like, can I just do 1:15? Like, I always do 1:16. They cross the line. And I was like, course is 1:16.
Yeah,
It's always
1:15 looked
1:16.
nice, wouldn't it?
I know, like 1:15:59, even, like, that's fine. Didn't happen.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Noosa, because Noosa, if we're talking about seconds to get under certain barriers like that, Paul Goulet, Brooke Williams, we spoke about them off air actually. We're co-hosts for a spin-off series called Road to Noosa on this podcast for five episodes. And they were there. We spoke about the event. We loved it, but there's certainly some challenges, isn't there? A lot of people on the course, a lot of turning around. It's tight. There's different paced runners out there. How was your experience? Do you think it was set up for you to run as fast as you could, Ella, at that very day?
For Noosa, no. My training's all over the place. I didn't know how I was going. I feel like I don't have a lot of confidence in my running and I don't really like racing. So I never really know how I'm tracking. The course, I don't think it's the quickest course. It's pretty, I don't know, like the bridges and stuff, I feel like you could probably pick a faster one. There's a lot of people on it. Like, it's a great race. I love it. I have so many friends and family and everyone out there. Like, everyone was yelling at me. It was
it's
like
an amazing vibe.
It was really, really cool. But I kind of went out on feel. I didn't go out looking at my watch. I knew there was a few guys of similar pace, and I was like, I took off and I knew not to be a hero because the other year I was a hero and I went out and did like the first K in 3:15 and blew up. Although I blew up, I think I still ran quicker than I ran recently. But I stayed with them. I had a bad patch where I didn't feel that great. And then you kind of can't tell by my time. So I looked at my times and I was like, oh, I'm still running good, but I don't feel great. And then that passed and I ended up feeling good. And I nearly caught my training partner towards the end and actually ran behind him and I was like, I'm right behind you. And he's like, yeah, I know, I can hear everyone yelling your name.
And who is that?
Stephen Stewart.
Oh, okay. Don't know who he is. Where's he based?
Oh, he's up here as well.
Yeah,
so we do
right.
a lot of our runs together. And
awesome.
he wanted a lot quicker time than he got. So yeah, when I was catching him, I was like, oh, he's not going to be happy. But then I got right behind him and then he ran off again a bit and he finished just in front of me in my finishing video. He's right there and I was like, damn you. but in the end, I kind of just gave up on the time. I don't think I looked every K, but I didn't really know my overall time. I knew I had quite a big gap from the second girl. And then I just ran on feel. I was like, a PB doesn't matter. If you win it, that's good. That's fun. Who cares about the rest?
Yeah, and is that pretty normal for you to not look at your pace? Well, I guess you looked at your pace every K, but there's certainly people out there that are looking at it very frequently.
I feel like I do often look at every K, but then certain races I won't be held up on the time, like the overall finish time. For a marathon, for Gold Coast or something, I definitely would for sure. I'd have it on like the page where it has your average pace for the entire run. And I would know roughly what the pace needs to be. So for a marathon or a more important race, yeah, I would be checking it quite a bit. But for this one, it was just for fun.
Let's talk about two other marathons then, hey Ella, and one of them is Ballarat. You won that this year, earlier in the year, but also Gold Coast. I believe that was your fastest at 2:38 last year. So how was your experience of both of those?
Ballarat was like, I would have liked to have PB'd, but I knew I didn't have the training in my legs. It was also really hard because everyone starts together, the half marathon, and then they all stop halfway. So you're pretty lonely on the second lap. And your drink looks way better than mine, by the way.
No one knows that. Keep that quiet.
Ballarat. It was a hard course. I thought it was going to be flat leading into it, and I didn't find it flat. I found like there's one really bad hill. The second lap got a bit windy, and honestly, the second lap I felt like rubbish. I don't know what was going on, but I did not feel good, and I was kind of in survival mode, and my friends saw me near the lake, and they were like, you're fine. You've got like 8 minutes. You just can jog it in. And in the end, I wasn't jogging, but my pace was not great. And even on the downhills, like I could be flying and I just didn't care. I was like, I just need to get to the finish. Like I knew there was great prize money. And I'm like, who cares? Like you're winning it. Doesn't matter. Again, same as like Noosa, like whatever, who cares about a time? And I actually didn't know that I was close to sub 240. I had no idea. I stopped looking because I felt so rubbish. I was like, I don't care. It is what it is.
Yeah, right. And was that 240 on the dot then?
240.55.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, yeah, it's pretty good considering I slowed
Yeah,
down
yeah.
so much.
Yeah. So was that quite a stark contrast to Gold Coast then? We all know, most listeners will know that Gold Coast is an amazing course, wide roads, flat roads, good temperatures, and a 238 for you there. Was that more consistent with your pacing?
I think there's more people there for you to sit behind.
Yeah.
You can get in a bunch. I really think that's what helps. But I also feel like I did run really well at Ballarat considering my training was very different. Like I'd done a lot of trail training, not my normal intervals as much. So I sort of went in going like, I don't know how I'm going to run. But yeah, Gold Coast is cool. Like I was surprised last year that the vibe, I don't know. I didn't think many people would know me and everyone was cheering. Yeah, you've got your name on your bib. But the atmosphere was really, really cool at Gold Coast. Like the last, 6Ks kind of sucks, but it's a bit more lonely out there. But yeah, Gold Coast is cool. I'm doing it again this year. So who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, and sold out this year, expecting to be
Yeah.
massive numbers. Only going to be more depth out there. Where'd you place last year? It's going to be interesting to see where you place this year with potentially a quicker time, hopefully.
God. I think I was seventh, I think, from memory last year, which was pretty cool. And then like fifth Aussie across the line. So I was pretty happy with that. Like that was my first, I will say my first proper marathon that I've done. Like I did one in, maybe a year after I had my first son and I just wanted to go sub 3 hours. I'd never done a marathon and I did sub 3 hours. And this one last year was the first proper one that I gave it a crack at. I did train for it 2 years prior, but COVID happened. And so
Yes.
it was cancelled a year out, I mean, a week out. And then the next year I got COVID a week out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, who knows what will happen this year.
Yeah, well, very interesting. Let's backtrack a little bit to, as in event-wise, distance-wise. I want to know about your 5 and 10K. I can't find anything about them online, Ella. Do you run them at all?
I do. I don't really like them. I do. I like them. I did Noosa 10K last year, actually.
Yes.
Wasn't a great time. I got a stitch. I had like a couple of coffees and a muffin and all this food before the race because it was a late start. I was out watching the half marathon and the marathon just eating and drinking. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I've got to do a 10K.
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock or
And
something, isn't it?
yeah, it was quite late. And I did 35. 30 or 35, 20 something maybe, which was fine. My PB is at Jetty to Jetty. I did the 10K a couple of years ago and I did 34.51.
Wow, you and Hills,
So there
Brisbane
are,
Marathon and Jetty to Jetty, both
I know.
hilly.
I know. There are some results out there. I've never done a fast 5K though. My fastest 5K is in Jetty to Jetty, the first 5K. I did 17.04, I think. So I was going to do parkrun this morning actually. And try and PB, and then I slept in, so it didn't happen.
Yeah, right. So tell us, if you did a fast park run up there, where would that be? Because I've done the, which one is it? Majimba Park Run is not great from memory. A couple of turnarounds.
Nah.
Is it one further
Yeah,
north?
too many turns. There's Noosa, too hilly. It's like at the back towards like Tawantin kind of, so that's not a good one. You go to Brightwater. That goes around a lake, and that's quite fast. So I think you'd go there.
Okay.
But like Saturday morning, I hate morning running. I'm not good at it. It's cold. I know I should be good at it. I race in the morning. But when I'm racing, I wake up at like 3 in the morning. I vacuum the house. I like dance around and get myself hyped up to like make my body think it's not morning time. So I don't want to do that on a random Saturday morning. It's not gonna happen.
Oh, well, there you go. 5:10, half and marathon times. Any other events you'd like to talk about, tell us about, longer than those or shorter, even like the 3K or 1500, say, have you been
Oh, you
that
won't
low?
see me. No,
Pushing too low.
no, nah, that's not for me. I've done a 50K. That was Noosa Ultra a couple of years ago.
Yes.
I had a cold. So that didn't feel great. But that was fun. I don't think I've done anything longer. I haven't planned on doing it yet. Don't think I'm going to follow in Beth's footsteps
No.
just yet. That's a bit far. Although I'm doing the training, I could just do one, but no, the marathons are fun for now.
Awesome. We'll get to the training. And how on earth you now have two kids, one 8 years old, but let's go right back to the start. I'm talking about you as a
Okay.
kid and high school and what anything that you can think of that influenced or got you into to running at all. Were you running back then during school time, Ella?
Yeah, I did like cross country through primary school. Always loved it. Was kind of okay for a kid, I guess. Would do like state cross country. And then in high school, same sort of thing. Would do like the 5K runs at school and the cross countries again and all the little races. And then sort of in my like, I'd say teenage years, early 20s, I ran for fun. I wasn't fast. I'd say I was always like a 38 minute 10K-er. I don't have a clue how many Ks I'd be doing a week. I didn't have a fancy watch, nothing like that. And then, yeah, I think having kids made me run more because it's kind of you can tap out a lot easier. You can be like, I'm going for a run for 3 hours. See ya. You can't just go, I'm going for 3 hours. Bye. So I think I really picked it up and got serious, not even serious, but more serious than I normally am after having kids. I
Yeah,
didn't do
right.
too much
Yeah.
beforehand. It was like I'd win little fun runs and stuff, but it wasn't to the level I am now.
Okay, happy to share when your first child was born. How old were you then? Late 20s.
Yeah, I think I was 28. So he's 8 and I'm 35. So yeah, do the math.
There's the age.
I had him and then 2 years later, had a little surprise one along the way. I actually joined a gym the week before I found out I was pregnant with him. I was like, I'm going to get really fit for summer. And then a week later, I was like, I can't eat my food. I'm like, what's going on? And then I was like, actually, I know what this is. And anyway, I was right.
Wow.
Didn't get fit for summer, so it didn't happen.
Yeah, right. So talk to us
So.
about post the birth of both those children though, Ella. Like, were you someone that was sort of very urgently wanting to get back to the running? Did you start quickly or did you take your time? How'd that look? Because I'm talking for even my wife here, who's a previous runner before having kids. She's struggling now for motivation. How can the ladies get motivated? What do you do?
Well, I had a running cramp and I had to stop. I remember when I was pregnant with my first, I think I had to stop running at maybe like 30 weeks. And then I was just on a spin bike. I was huge. And once he was born, you're meant to wait 6 weeks or something. No one listened to what I did because it's not what you're meant to do. I think I went for my first run 2 weeks after. It was tragic. It was really bad. I think I ran like 2K. And there's a photo of
Crazy.
me running with the pram, and it's just not okay. But from then, like, I'd go out walking with the pram, and then sometimes I'd walk and jog a little bit. And my kids were really good. Both kids loved the pram. So I could go out for ages and they'd just sit in it. So I think having the running pram and living where I live, you want to be outside. They were winter babies, the winter sun's so nice. And so I had it pretty easy. Like they weren't kids that cried in the pram. And I don't know. I think my motivation just, I don't really know what it was. I just liked being outside and running was just something I could do with them. And I didn't need someone else to rely on to look after them. Just put them in the pram and off I go.
Yeah, right. So in that journey back to running, was there someone that, like a doctor you'd seen to get some kind of official, hey, you can run now kind of a thing? Or was it just playing that by feel whilst pushing the pram out there in those first 6 months?
Yeah, like I'm not good at listening to people and listening to what I should be doing. I normally like do the opposite. So sorry to all the listeners. But yeah, if like I know the rules and I know I shouldn't have ran early, but I also feel like I do listen to my body and I felt okay. I wasn't pushing it, I wasn't doing intervals. I'd just be doing like, oh, look, I can run home. It's only 1K now. And although I only had a baby a few weeks ago, like I feel fine. And Yeah, I did have a midwife, and she was like, "What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing that." And I was like, "Okay, cool, but I'll probably do it anyway." And look, I'm here and I'm fine and everything's good. But yeah, no, I was just eager to get back into it.
Yeah, awesome. So, you're running now. I was flicking through your Strava, the last, Strava can show the last 12 weeks, I think, of mileage. There's one in there that's 140K. That stood out. I'm sure you've run, longer or hit that mileage before and consistently. But what's inspiring you now? Are you training with someone up there? Is there some motivation more so to keep you along to run up to 140K, which for most people is obviously a massive stretch of time and effort and commitment. So what's the secret here?
I actually, although like I am training for Gold Coast, but even if I wasn't training for a race, I would probably be running those Ks anyway. Like I just really like it. It's just like my time. I put music in my ears, and I always say it's like free therapy. Like I can just go out, no one can harass me, although they can call my phone, I won't answer. But yeah, I don't know. Like it's sort of like the longer the better. And yeah, I normally try to hit bigger Ks than what I'm hitting at the moment. At the moment, I think because I've been racing quite a bit, you can never get the high mileage like you normally want building into a marathon. So I was looking the other day as well at my Strava graph, and I was like,
Yeah,
"Ooh,
bit
it's
spiky.
not really." Yeah, it's always like that. It's like a story of my life. It's like, ah. But yeah, I would like to be hitting like. Ideally, in the dream world, I'd love to be doing 130 to 160 Ks a week every week. But the moment you throw in a race and like race the sun, there's been like, oh, I think I've done like four marathons or something already this year, which is a bit silly, but you just can't get the mileage right. But yeah, I don't know. I go out with Beth on weekends. Like we just went and did like 30 Ks up Kimbiwa. I think it was meant to be 24. And we end up doing longer, and then we got to like 29, and we're like, oh, we may as well make it to 30. And then that was a bit of an interesting run. I got really dizzy and had to eat a Mars bar like 6 Ks in at 6:40 in the morning. I was craving a Mars bar. I'm like, I'm dizzy, I'm gonna pass out. And I'm like, I need a Mars bar. It worked.
Wow. So I'm a bit confused now because you're talking earlier about not loving racing, and now you're saying you love just running and training. So which one is it? It seems like you're a bit torn there, Ella.
I know. So I did Port Fairy Marathon, but I'm from down there and they invited me down and I was like, cool, I'll come down. Like all my family and friends are there. So I did that. It didn't go well. I ended in the ambulance at 36 Ks and it was a bit of a interesting situation. Anyway, so that was that race. And then the next one I did, it was like a destination marathon. So it was like a holiday. It was in Wanaka in New Zealand. My sister lives there and she has a baby. And I was like, perfect. I can go over, stay with her, and I'll do a run at the same time. It's not serious. So although I don't like racing, I feel like Port Fairy was for fun. New Zealand was for fun and it was amazing. I loved it. The pressure's off. The bigger races, I don't know. Like I love it once the gun's gone. And I like the training, but the week before or something, I'm always a bit like, oh, why am I doing this? But like, I love training. I really do love training. But yeah, races can stress me out a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about the training now then. So if you were to have a consistent period or block, what would the typical week look like up there for you, Ella?
So I normally always have a Monday off. I've done that for a couple of years. Because it's like I'd do a long run on Sunday, but normally Monday off, Tuesday, I would do an easy run in the morning. Most people do intervals in the morning, but me not being a morning person, I do them in the evening when it's nearly dark. And then I would do Wednesday. Beth and I always do like a midweek long run. In Parisian, we do like about 20, 22 Ks. Thursday, normally easy double run, something along those lines. Then it would be like Friday intervals of some sort, like K reps or 10-minute efforts or something. I haven't done them for a while. I'm still recovering from Race the Sun. And then Saturday would be easy. Sunday, depending on if I've got a marathon or not, I'm training for, I would normally do like a marathon based session. So something along the lines of like 4 times 5K with 1K flow, 6 3K efforts with 1K flow. And so anywhere from like 30 to 35Ks would normally be on Sunday. But then every second week, I would change that to just an easy long run. And then otherwise, it's like a long trail run. Beth and I have been getting really into them, and they're so nice, and I love them. And we just go out to like the Noosa hinterland and get lost for hours, and we do a lot of that as well. So that's normally pretty much what my week is.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the hills, because you spoke about those two PBs on the hilly events, Jetty Jetty and Gold Coast, and where those hills might fit in the week for that strength. Is there any, like, through the week, do you find, is there any hills there you can find off the beach there, and or any strength work that you do away from running?
Yeah, there's a few hills around where I live. I actually haven't done hills for a long time, like so long actually. But I do them out on the trails with Beth, but we just run them easy. We're not doing anything super fast. We did do a few months back. There was a few hilly roads, and would go and try and get like the Strava crowns and whatnot. You know, we're one of those sort of people. And I got it. I think I got the guys one too. And all the guys that got it did it the week before. So I was kind of like, ha, oh.
Yes.
And they could kind of see it was deliberate. And they're like, hey, we're already just out there. No one ever goes out there, and you guys have gone the week after. And I was like, yeah, leave it alone. It's mine now. But I don't do any gym work. Again, I'm doing everything wrong, but I don't get injured. Like, I've never had a proper running injury, and I do no strength work. My diet's atrocious. But somehow it works, and I don't really want to change it, because I feel like if I started eating better, I could injure myself. The gym, I just can't be bothered going. I do like 5 sit-ups in front of the TV, and I'm like, yep, that's me done.
Yeah, so you think it's something just in running? Is it something just in running itself? Do you think that the body can adapt to the mileage? Like someone, like, what's your maximum amount of Ks per, your biggest in a week, Ella? Have you got over 160, 70?
Yeah, I got to 190. Oh, wow. I think it was like 197. It was something really close to 200. And everyone's like, you've got to go out and do the next extra couple of K. And I was like, I can't be bothered. I don't even know when I did that. Maybe when we trained for Noosa Ultra, I went out and did like a 47K training run, and it was the muggiest day I've ever felt up here. It was awful. And I actually thought I was sick that morning. I was like, wow, I must be sick. I started at 3 a.m. And I was like, why am I so hot? But it was just a really humid day.
Yeah, it got me thinking, actually. We've had a break there for listeners. You did cut out on us, but I've got thinking for the next sort of 5, like 10 years. Do you think that will change for you, Ella, too, particularly being a mother, being a lady, getting older, not old, but older, will the weights training come in more, the mileage down? What do you sort of intend with training? Even if we just go to 5 years, are you intending just to continue to hit that, hopefully somewhere near 130, 40, 50 K?
God, I normally go day by day, but hey.
<Nothing's> pressure.
That's pretty wild. All right, 5 years. I don't know. I think I don't see myself backing it down too much. Like, I would like to do, like, if I did strength work, it would be some sort of like Pilates or something like that. Beth does go to a place, and she's always like, let's go. But I just can't be bothered having to be somewhere at a certain time. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I feel like women in marathon running, we're just getting better as we get older. I don't know what it is. It's everyone's having babies and they're becoming like superwomen. It's really crazy. I don't know what like the science is behind it or anything like that. But I don't know, like you look like the best marathoners, and we're like, they're all moms nearly. It's crazy. So I don't know. Hopefully we don't have to slow down anytime soon. Like I look at Beth. She's like my little idol and role model, and she's in her 40s and absolutely killing it. Like she did park run today, and I think she did 17:30 in Cairns. And I'm like, no, we don't need to slow down. We've got this for ages, hopefully.
Yeah, now Beth will probably listen in to this, Ella, and I do know Beth McKenzie, but just a bit of a background to the listeners. You've mentioned Beth at least 5 to 10 times here, so people are probably wondering who she is, what's she about, what's her biggest achievements for as a runner? What's she done?
I reckon her big one was just UT. Is it UTA or UTB?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what it's called. That one down at the Blue Mountains, she has won the 100K. But that's
Wow.
who I train with up in Noosa. We do like our long runs together, midweek long runs. But yeah, she was a Iron Woman. I'm going to say Iron Man. It sounds weird to say Iron Woman. But and now she's retired, but she's into running. And now she was a marathoner. She was doing marathons, and now she is doing ultra trail, crazy 100K races. And it's wild. I do all of her training with her, like all the longer runs, and it's been super fun. Like having someone around the coast near me, we get along really great, and it just makes training good. Like long runs go so fast. Where like if someone needs to run up a hill and run off, the other person will just play catch up. And yeah, we just have a lot of fun training. So yeah, it's been really good. We did train for Gold Coast Marathon together 2 years ago. But yeah, COVID ruined that. So it's been always really annoying because I'm like, it would have been a really good race for us to race together, not to compete against each other, but both to be there. It would have been pretty similar in times, like our marathon time. The Gold Coast was maybe like 20 seconds apart.
Wow.
So it's annoying we didn't get to do that. So hopefully she'll want to do another one with me one day soon. If you're listening, Beth, that's like, you've got to do it.
She'll probably listen to you tomorrow when you're running. You're
yeah,
running with
yeah,
her
she
tomorrow?
Better. No, she's in Cairns doing
No.
all the expo stuff up there. No. And then she's off to America, so she's leaving me, which is a bit sad.
Okay, well, let's talk about women and older women having babies and running. Well, and that's, I'm alluding to the women's marathon at the moment, and a lot of depth. Obviously, the selections for Paris have taken place in the last, week and a half, I think.
Yeah.
They were selected. Bit of controversy out there. Obviously, you're fairly elite yourself, Ella. I'd love to hear from you and a bit of context for the listeners. Three have to be picked. Six were able to run. Able to be picked, that is, sorry. And I think that the cutoff, the time was 2 hours 26 something. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah,
For the
something
ladies?
like that.
Six
Yeah.
under, who were Sinead Diver, Jen Gregson, Lisa Waitman, Isabel Bat Doyle, Izzy Bat Doyle, they call her, Jess Denson, and Eloise Wellings, all between 2:21 and 2:25. They've picked the fastest of all time, Australian, that's Sinead. They've picked Jen Gregson, the second fastest, and they've picked the fifth. Jess Denson, the Commonwealth Games winner, and also the lady who I think was 7, 8 months after her baby, just at the end of last year, start of this year, she had run an amazing time as well. So potentially that being a factor also, and Lisa Waitman obviously is a name I forgot to mention, the unfortunate one in that mix as well, who's the third fastest who missed out. But I think she was behind Jan Gregson on the day of Valencia, and also behind Izzy Bat Doyle at Valencia too, which is these things potentially reasons for why she wasn't picked. Done any reading or looked into this one, Ella?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of reading, and like I don't know, I don't understand the selection process. I don't understand any of that, but I don't understand the choices either. I don't know. I feel like for years to come, it's going to make all the athletes a bit scared now, because if it doesn't always go on time, you'll never know until it's, I guess, you're selected. Like you could get the second fastest time and it might not mean anything. So I guess you're never safe. But yeah, I don't know what the reason was. That's not what I would have thought. I just would think it would be top three, but I feel like that normally, I don't know, the fair way. If you look at like, I don't know, America, and they do the trials, and it's like, well, you've got one day, top three, nothing else matters. That's it. That's your team. I don't know. But like, I guess it's hard as well, because it's hard for Jess as well, being that person and being selected and having all that kind of, I don't know, I feel like it would kind of ruin your moment a bit too. I don't know. It's, I don't know what to say about it, because Lisa, I know Lisa and she's lovely, and I couldn't imagine how heartbroken you'd be hearing that. And I don't know, I think it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, I'd like to read what the reason was, because all I've read is that Lisa's beaten Jess, what is it, 7-1, has a faster time. And yeah, they might be taking in that Jess has just had a baby and ran like an amazing, I can't even understand the time she ran just after having a baby. Like, that is crazy. That's just showing how amazing women are and how strong they can come back. That's like extra amazing. Like, we can't all do that. But yeah, it's, oh yeah, I don't know. You can hear I'm like, I don't even know what to say about it, because it wouldn't be a nice feeling for either of them, I don't think.
No, and I believe they are, well, I assume most of these women are friends, but I believe those two are friends. There was something came out about a Facebook photo. Did you see that? I think.
Oh, I think it was like a Twitter profile
Lisa's husband
picture or something.
Yeah, Jess Denson had a photo of them after a race.
Yeah, and someone told someone to remove it. This is, I haven't heard any of this from anyone besides.
Yeah, I believe it was Lisa's husband. And I hope I got this right.
Yeah.
Asked her to take it down. She did, and because it was just such a tough time for them. Obviously, when you're picked, you've got no choice. That's nothing on her, but that's how close they were. And also, ladies like Izzy Batdoyle and Eloise Wellings, particularly Izzy Batdoyle, who's the fourth fastest, not picked before the fifth
did
fastest,
she?
Jess Denson.
But I don't know if Izzy apply?
Well,
I thought I heard a rumor, everyone, it's a rumor, that she was switching to like the 10-5K for the Olympics. So maybe that's why, I don't know, but I don't know if that's true. But yeah,
I don't know
I heard
how that works
that
either, too. If there's some eligibility to it, or if you're just available, surely no one would knock back the Olympics. But I do, obviously, runners prefer
certain events. I
thought
it was something to do with she knew her time was not as fast as the other girls, and that she wouldn't be picked off based off her time, and so switched it around a while ago. That's what I heard, which would make sense, because you'd assume that you've got faster girls in front of you. Well, if I can't make the marathon team, I'd go 5-10K, and like, look at her times, they're amazing. She just ran like 30 minutes something, 30-20 or something in some 10K on the road overseas.
Izzy Batdoyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And she's obviously younger than the other ladies. I think all these women have had babies other than her and Eloise Wellings,
yeah,
if I'm correct.
What's
Jess
his
Denson,
face,
Lisa,
I reckon.
Jen. Jen, she's got, what, 1.5-year-old, I think. And Sinead might have a couple, at least one.
Yeah, I feel like hers might be a little bit older.
And she is old. She's the oldest herself. The oldest, I think, Olympian in any discipline, any sport,
really,
of all time. I think that was the case at the last Olympics, so add 4 years to whatever age is. I think it's mid-40s.
Wow,
but
that's
an
cool
excellent
too. And it's
article.
Not like it's archery or something. It's not, it's
no,
a, it's a,
no.
It's a taxing sport. It's not like she's just doing, what's it called, like curling or something,
lawn bowls or something.
Yeah, like it's a lot on your body.
Exactly. And obviously you can improve that endurance physically and mentally over time. But yeah, it's a 2-year period, end of 2022 to, or 1.5-year period rather, to now, where they can make that. That's where they've got to run those times. And Jen, Lisa, Izzy, second, third, fourth, are all within 20 seconds of each other. And then you've got Sinead a couple minutes, a minute and a half ahead, and Jess and Eloise a little bit out there. So potentially that Commonwealth Games win being a thing, or that 8-month post race. It's going to be slightly hillier here too. Not a dead flat race. Hot conditions. Jen's waited very well in some hot races before. She's a bit of a thing up at Noosa too. She's had a few good Noosa bolts from memory as well. Run well in the heat up there. So that's the thing. The question
brutal.
There is like picking any team for a sport, right? Like a footy team. It's not like when coaches are picking elite footy teams, even State of Origin, that they come out and justify why they pick every single player to the audience. I know it's the Olympics, but is there something to consider there that they can pick the team, so they pick whoever they want?
I don't know. I have no idea. But I know Lisa's time, like I think Lisa's quickest time in that period, she had COVID. She ran it with like, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what's harder, running it with COVID or running it with after having a baby. So I've got no idea. I feel like there needs to be something that's published to really put out to like what the reasoning is. But yeah, I've got no idea.
And that's a disappointing thing. Not much out there. This is the best article I found, and it's a good thing that running's making mainstream media. It's ABC News I'm talking about. But it's like, it's such a long article, and there's sort of questions bolded in there that the listeners might be thinking about, and they're responding to these questions like, which Australians were selected is one. So who was the fastest is the next. With the Waitman versus Stenson saga, trying to make this as clear as they can to the public. But Australia, Athletics Australia, haven't said much other than it's a difficult decision to make. So I wonder if they speak to these athletes personally, particularly like someone like Lisa. Maybe if you've got any pull factor, Ella, we try and get Lisa on this podcast.
I don't know. I'll chat to her. But yeah, I'd love to read something where it's like they have put it out there and been like, this is it. But I don't know. I won't hold my breath for that one.
Yeah, we'll see what comes out of it. And Liam Adams as well was added late to the men, wasn't he, with Brett? And I'm having a mind blank as to the second. Liam Adams and Brett. Who is the third? Pat Tiernan?
I don't know.
Pat Tiernan, I think.
I thought my son was crying. He's laughing at the TV. Yeah, I don't know about the men's. I know that Liam finally got a spot, and I feel like that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and a bit of an easier choice, I think, for selectors.
Yeah. The men's marathon, like, there's, I don't know, I feel like the women at the moment, the field's just really strong to choose compared to the men. I don't know why. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Well, before we start to wrap things up with some listener questions, and there may just be one listener on there. I think we know who that is, but what about the other events though, like the 10K and 5K, the 1500, the women, it's just booming there too in those shorter events. Do you follow those events much at all too, Ella, and leading into Paris?
I watch some of like those like meets and stuff on TV. I don't get too involved in it. I like following the 10K and watching like that. I don't like, I like watching the Olympics and all the track stuff, but I don't follow the times, and I wouldn't have a clue about the shorter stuff. I know like the really good Aussies, obviously, but nah, I'm not too focused on it, but I like watching it. But yeah, I don't, have they even announced their
shorter track? I was going to ask you, I don't know the schedule of when it's announced. It's got to be soon.
There has to be a few given, like, is it
like Jess Hull,
Jessica
surely.
Hull?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, she's flying.
Yeah.
Then who's the other one? The other.
Been a few on the 800. Caspis
is it Hall?
And the young one too.
Yeah, Hall.
Lyndon Hall, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, there's a few.
Yeah, it'll be cool to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be good. But as always, the Africans are out there, both in the men and women.
Ugh.
So we can talk about
that.
Oh, my
God,
you know, 2:11 is the world record now for women in the marathon, and we're talking about 2:23, 2:22.
I'm really confused about that, actually, the women's, because the time's 2:11 or whatever, but it kept saying women's only. There was a race recently, and it was like, women's only record broken, and I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I think it means without male pacers.
Oh, okay. Right.
I'm correct. Yeah, I was reading that today.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't get it. What does it mean? So is that the 2:11 time, or is that the 2:17 time?
Yes, I believe that 2:11 time paced by a male, and the other with no either a female pacer or no pacers. I do wonder why the ladies need the men to pace. Obviously, you pace usually to about 30-something K. So maybe it's just the fact that there's obviously most women can't do that. But I think
then I feel like when the men do the record, this is what I was chatting to a friend about. They get the men to pace, and it doesn't say men's only record.
no,
Does
because
it?
the women can't
And
pace the
I'm
men,
like,
though. But
no, I know, but they're still getting paced. So what's the difference?
yeah, don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's just what I was thinking. I was like, I don't get it. Like, it
Yeah.
doesn't, I don't know.
They'll be paced by robots soon anyway, so there'll be something AI,
Exactly.
like
Like,
the
there'll be
lights on
some
the track.
drone following someone along,
Exactly. So there's no
handing
gender
out drinks
bias.
to people.
All
Yeah.
right, let me pull up our Instagram to see if any listener questions have come through. Obviously, you're a Sunshine Coast based athlete. Most of my listeners are from Brisbane, but there are some, they're all around Australia. Some, it's weird looking at stats, some are over in Chile in the world.
Oh,
So
wow. Interesting.
you never know. Let's see what's
Yeah,
on
you
here.
never know.
I know your friend spammed it.
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't know. She sent me all these voice. I'll send it to you later. She sent me all these
Yeah, it's
voice
just
snippets of
her.
her just, it's
I'm
her
sorry to break your
laughing
heart.
into.
You've got thousands of followers on Instagram, and all we get is one person who's your friend. I hope it
Oh,
is.
mine aren't all running people, though. They just follow my funny stuff that I post, really. I'm not a serious Instagrammer.
Probably a few hybrid athletes. That's the thing now.
Yeah.
Is it Ren LSVB? Is that the name? The
Yeah, I actually don't even know what she wrote in, but I know her and I know they will not be okay to obviously read out.
No, they're all almost all inappropriate.
Not
This one's pretty
surprised.
funny though, and interesting. Have you ever had to stop at a toilet at a toilet during a race?
I don't think I have actually, not in a race. In training runs, obviously, all the time. But in a race, I'm trying to think why she wrote that. I think she's just being an idiot. No, I haven't. She probably has. I'm gonna ask her now. I'm like, no,
Fair enough.
I think I'm good. No, I haven't.
Easy. I'll fire a few ad hoc listener questions just in my head, top of my head right now.
All right.
I'll give you about a sentence each to answer them before we wrap up. All
Okay.
right. What's your best location up there, Sunny Coast? You mentioned the trails. Where's your best location if you had to run somewhere for the rest of your life every day? Where would you pick?
Noosa National Park.
In Noosa National Park.
Yeah.
Okay, favorite event of all time? Not necessarily like your fastest run, but which out of the ones we've spoken about, or any others that you've liked or would like to do as well?
Oh, I reckon the favorite is Motapu in New Zealand, and one that I would like to do would be also in New Zealand, Queenstown Marathon looks really cool.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
That
All
looks
right.
really pretty.
Oh yeah, not fast but pretty. That wasn't the
Yeah.
question though, was it? Footwear. What are you wearing for all your runs, easy and fast?
All right. New Balance, like fresh foam 1080s, have them for years, love them. Fast runs, Alpha Flies. All the time, shorter runs, Vaporflies. I have a new pair of Adidas Adizero, but they blistered me really bad, but they look beautiful, but they feel nice. That's
Okay.
it so far.
All right. Favorite running city, like in Australia? Have you traveled around and enjoyed other areas than the Sunny Coast, or would it be Sunny Coast?
Nah, not really, actually. I'm from country Victoria, and where I live down there, Warrnambool, was actually really good for running. Really windy, but there was heaps of different options where here it's like left or right. So, but yeah, no, I haven't really tackled running in cities, and I don't think it's for me. I don't really like people that much, and that would just do my head in, I think.
Yeah. All right. In the week, your favorite run these days, is it the really short, intense stuff, the easy runs, or the longer runs or workouts?
Oh, it's all over the place. Depends on my mood. That changes quite a bit, but I nearly would say my Wednesday midweek long run. That's, I don't know, I just like it. It's not too far and it's early in the morning and we run easy and I think it's that one.
Awesome. Speaking of running in the week, running attire for women out there getting into running, what attire do you wear that they possibly could get involved with? Any more recent brands?
Yeah, I only really run in Wind Republic now.
Yeah.
But I love it. I really do. It's like, it's so good. Like the running tops for marathons are good. They've got the pocket in the front so you can hide all your gels. You don't have to put them in. Like they've got pockets in the side, your phone goes in the side. And yeah, that's all I wear.
Awesome. All right. Last one. Advice for runners out there. We just mentioned people joining up. There's a lot of the running boom's huge this year. We mentioned about Gold Coast will be far superior to last year in terms of numbers. What's your advice, particularly with the ones who've got kids, who've got to manage all that week to week logistics and all that stuff? What motivates you? What can they do?
I reckon don't get too held up in numbers and paces and keep it interesting. Don't just run the same spot every time, mix it up, go to a trail, go to the track, run down the beach. Don't just run from home every day, like get in your car, drive 20 minutes, find somewhere new, find some running friends, like good playlists, stuff like that. Don't get held up on Strava and the numbers. It can be a bit, I don't know, stupid sometimes. People try and impress people too much.
Awesome. Excellent advice. I'll keep you very shortly off air, so to speak, when we cut the conversation to the listeners. But thank you for your time, Ella. Obviously, you've had a fair journey from those early 20s running along pretty quickly, but not as seriously as now, and getting faster and faster with two kids. So looking forward to your journey moving forward. And there's always things that the variety of listeners resonate with, so there'll be plenty in there that I think that they'll connect with. So thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode or the Local Legend in Running podcast in general, please jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you.